Welcome to Are You Kidding Me? A pediatric podcast for parents like you about kids like me. Let's get started.
Hello, and welcome back to Are You Kidding Me? A pediatric podcast for parents presented by Pediatrics in Brevard. I am your host, Katie Parsons, and as always, I am here with Dr. Tara Forcier. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Katie. Good to see you and be here.
Yes, so happy to see you again. We have a pretty fun podcast plan today. We're going to be talking about sports and its impact on our children, on our family lives, how we interact with them as parents. And as an added piece of fun, we have an additional person on the podcast today, and that is Brant Parsons. He's a sports journalist and the founder of the high school sports website, Cobra Wrestling. He's also our sound engineer and my husband. So hi, Brant. Welcome to the podcast.
I guess when you talk about the topic before the podcast, you get roped in if you have good things to say.
That's right.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah. Brant just had so much to say before we were recording that we were like, you know what? You're going to be part of this conversation. So hopefully you listeners enjoy it as much as we're enjoying it right now recording it. I know I didn't really play sports growing up. I was more of a theater kid, but as an adult, I've come to some sports. I'm a runner, and all five of my children are involved in sports in some level. We've got a volleyball player, a soccer player, basketball player, a gymnast, runners, and sometimes I just kind of look around and I'm like, who are these children? Because they are so much more active in sports than I was as a kid. But I'm really enjoying it, seeing it through their eyes. And I know, Tara, your kids are all involved in sports as well.
I have the same experience as you, Katie, because I'm surprised too when I look at my kids and I think, they're actually pretty athletic. And when I was a kid, I had one season of softball. And the my biggest memory was that I was the worst player on the team. I don't think I ever hit the ball at bat. And the one time I actually caught it, it rolled out of my mitt onto the ground. So yes, it was very embarrassing and not a good experience.
Yeah, I feel in a lot of ways I do sort of vicariously live through their experiences. I can't really give them a whole lot of advice because I haven't played these sports that they're doing, unless maybe it's running, but otherwise, no. But it sure is a lot of fun. Now, Brant, I know you actually grew up in sports, so you kind of have a different perspective on this.
I think every early memory I have of growing up revolves either around playing sports, watching sports, talking about sports, buying sports cards and trading sports cards. It's been pretty much my main joy in life since I can remember.
And how did you two get together with these various differences?
Right. Well, we are both journalists, and that's how we met. We worked at the same newspaper. Yeah. I was not a sports journalist, though. Although, do you remember? There was one season they wrote me in to cover high school football.
I wrote you in to cover high school football, and you did.
And I did, but it was difficult.
You had your hand held by somebody who was working on the sports department, if I remember correctly.
Thankfully, because I learned a lot about high school football, though. Actually, that was all I ever knew about it was that season. But
well, like, I mean, and just to continue, I've continued through my adult life. I did sports talk radio for years. I was a sports journalist for, 16 years for a media company. I've done it over a year on my own. So it's something that's never really left me.
That's wonderful. Well, I will say, as an adult, I had a similar experience to you, Katie, where I became a runner. And it was like an epiphany that I could actually be an athlete and look at life through that lens. And then, of course, now I'm a soccer mom, too, and a running mom. And it's been definitely eye-opening, the whole world of sports with my kids. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. And, you know, Brant sort of touched on it when he said, you know, this has been his joy in life and what he still does. But, you know, just from a pediatrician's view and a mom's view, what do you see, Tara, as the benefits of sports involvement for kids?
Well, I think the most important thing is just you know, going back to like the idea of like, what's the principle here? I mean, exercise and fitness is number one. So, and especially in Florida where it's hot. So I think a lot of times when I'm counseling parents, you know, your kids need to get more activity. The kids, they don't want to go outside. Giving them options where they have a team that they could be part of. It's more fun. They've got people depending on them. Sometimes sports is the best option to, you know, an organized activity to get them actually out there doing some sort of exercise. And, you know, as part of that, you know, the benefits of exercise include weight management, you know, and we talked in that very first episode about, you know, the obesity problems that we're seeing. But there's also, I think a lot of people underplayed the mental health benefits of sports participation. Not only does exercise improve, you know, make you less likely to be anxious and depressed, but it builds confidence and self-esteem. You know, you are learning a skill usually when you're playing a sport. And so then you start to feel better and better about yourself because you can see how training improves that.
I know just as an adult, for me, I can just be in the worst mood. And if I go for a walk, whether it's to the beach, whether it's just around my block, I am like a different person when I come back. And when you apply that to children who, like, I can identify in a bad day, okay, here's why I'm feeling like this, here's what I'll do. Children and teens even don't necessarily have that ability yet. So having something consistent that is just there, that is the sport, that is the practice, that is the game, gives them those benefits often that they might not know they need to ask for.
Right. And they might not even recognize that that's what's causing it. I know, like, my teenage son, who is a runner now, he used to play soccer, but he runs now. And the days when he doesn't run, we can tell. He's grumpy, irritable, and, you know, we're like, oh, you didn't run today. And he doesn't like it when we point that out, but it is noticeable to us.
Yes, absolutely. I could see that.
So as far as like physical benefits, and probably Brant can attest to this, I mean, you're getting strength and coordination when you're playing sports. Those are really, you know, important to build up, again, that confidence and self-esteem and just feel fit. And then there's the actual medical benefits, things like decreasing inflammation and cardiac risk factors. So people maybe don't realize that exercise and fitness decreases your risks for cancer, diabetes, and heart disease, and increases your lifespan. Mm-hmm. So the thing I love about pediatrics is that, you know, and I tell my patients, I say, okay, when you become an adult, I want the number one thing that you come away from your experience with me to be like, oh, my pediatrician always told me to be fit, to, you know, exercise regularly and to create a habit for that. Because if you start that habit in childhood, it's much easier to continue it as an adult because it becomes part of your framework for life. Mm-hmm. And I know as an adult how hard it is to establish those kind of good exercise habits. So I try to counsel those kids to do it differently.
Absolutely. And I like what you've already touched on, how that looks different for different people. You know, that might be being on a soccer team, or it might just be that you like to go for a walk with your parents or a bike ride or surfing, especially in our area, you know, that you don't have to be in a gym or running 5 miles a day, that fitness looks different for everyone. And I think if you can attach it to your personality, which, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. might be easier to do in childhood, and it may change over the course of your life.
Right.
But if you can find that thing.
And there may be multiple things.
Right.
And like, if you don't want to go outside, you can, I mean, nowadays on YouTube, you can find all kinds of workout videos. Yeah. Or you can just turn on music and dance. And I tell, especially the girls, I tell them this all the time. I'm like, you don't have to go outside and get hot and sweaty. You can get hot and sweaty inside. But you do need to get your heart rate up and, you know, feel out of breath. Like, that's how you know it's strenuous enough.
Yes, that's a good measurement for sure. You know, you've talked about the physical components and the medical components. Can you talk a little bit about the social benefits of exercise and sports?
Sure. And I want to hear about Brant's experience as a kid mm-hmm. doing this. But, you know, as being part of a team is huge in terms of friendships and building respect for others, learning how to take turns, perhaps, or even just working together with other people. Mm-hmm. That's something I think that girls learn, especially just in the way that they do social interactions. They tend to gravitate towards working in teams. But this is something that, especially with boys, they can often learn through sports. And then, of course, you know, having another adult role model. You know, not all families are completely intact. There may be, you know, a parent missing. So this is another adult role model in the terms of a coach that might have a tremendous impact on the child's life.
I mean, for me, my dad was my coach for a lot of it. I was just telling my daughters today that you're going to have good coaches and bad coaches, and my best coach was him. But I do understand what you're saying. I played team sports. I did individual sports. I actually ran all the way through a year of college. I found I did better when I was in control of my own. Because I had bad coaches, I was better just making my own running workouts and that sort of stuff. But what I did learn playing on teams, as you kind of talked about, is you learn the importance of working with other people and sometimes sacrificing the good of yourself for the good of a team. You learn how to try and carry other people up to be on the same level to make the team better, where you don't always get rewarded for being the best player in a sport. Sometimes your team is as good as your worst player. And I think that's
true.
A valuable thing for kids to learn is teaching and helping others get better. And I learned that through sport. I didn't learn that through anything else. Sometimes being the best athlete, sometimes being the athlete that needed to be pulled up, depending on the sport. But that, I think, is a critical component on it because, and it's not so much in running, but with the team sports is you can be as good as you want to be, but it's about how good the team can be. And that's, I think, a unique way to learn. It's a fun way to learn it. Because you're doing a fun thing while you're learning it. But I think that's critical for kids. You find out when they're adults because they had that experience growing up.
So can I ask you, if I were to talk to your dad, would he say you were the easiest kid to coach? Because my husband, who's coached all of our kids, says that his own kid is always the hardest one to coach.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if he'd call me the easiest. He never formally coached me. Like, he was never on, like, my team coaches. I was just telling my daughter today, because she was talking about one of her coaches and her sports that she didn't particularly like. And I said, I ran cross country in high school, which is running long distance, and my coach was a weightlifter. I ran track in high school and long distance and middle distance, and my coach was the offensive line coach for football. So they didn't know anything about what was going on. But I still had my father, who had been a coach growing up, and when I was little, he was a football coach, a wrestling coach, a swimming coach. So he even helped me even through that age. But growing up through, like, the teen years, as I'm sure has been for you, he was my only guide. And I'd say I was okay most of the time, but I was probably harder to coach. It's harder because I think as a parent, you're more invested anyway. And coaches maybe are more used to the different intricacies of being a kid. And sometimes you're slacking off and sometimes you don't want to do it. But one of my favorite memories, or my favorite bonding with him, is the fact that he was my coach and I was able to learn so much through sports just by working with him. And I can remember being 10 years old and going on like a 5-mile run, and he'd drive his car next to me, through the roads of nowhere because he didn't want me to be out there alone. So, those kind of things were important too. So I would say we had a pretty strong relationship, even if at times I was frustrated.
That's a beautiful memory. I think my kids would probably say the same, especially my oldest, who's not really athletic. Like, he's probably allergic to exercise and sunlight. but I think the reason he stuck with sports as long as he did was because his dad was coaching. Mm-hmm. But I know from my husband's standpoint, it was frustrating at times.
It's hard.
Because they don't always respond the way other kids would. You know, it's like, I don't have to do this because it's my dad or whatever.
Right. And from sort of a different perspective, I don't teach my own kids voice and singing, even though I teach other kids voice and singing. I have them go to other people because mm-hmm. it is sort of like, oh, mom, you're just mom. Or, it doesn't seem to sink in as well. But it sounds like in your example, Brent, your dad helping you with that actually did help. So yeah, I'm not sure.
And not to be too cliche, but you know this. I mean, the only thing my dad and I talk about is sports. That's our bonding to this day. If I see him, we'll talk about whatever game was on last night. Or he's a master swimmer. He's a nationally ranked master swimmer, even in the 70s. And we'll talk about his swimming, or we'll talk about our kids' sports. And, mm-hmm. That's what he loves, coming to their games and their things. He comes to their plays and musicals and stuff too.
He does. We don't really talk about those.
But we don't really talk about those. But, like, to this day, I don't know if I have any conversation with my dad past a superficial level other than sports, and we can talk sports for hours on end.
So that was the way you connected with him.
Yeah. Yes, and the way I connected with my grandfather, and the way I connect with my son. We watch sports together, yeah. And he's a teenager and in those trying times, but we connect through sports and are able to communicate that way. So maybe that's my coping mechanism through all that. But it's definitely been, I'm thankful for that because I do have that to lean on in those moments.
And I know, you know, Brant's definitely been touching on this in what he was talking about with his dad and grandfather and our son. But, you know, I think what we're saying here is that involvement in sports really does extend beyond, you know, even the social. What are some other valuable lessons you find that are pretty inherent to sports, Tara?
So, I mean, I think it's character building in a number of different ways. You know, we talked about, really Brant was talking about, you know, how you lift others up. So it's teamwork and respecting others, sportsmanship when you don't perform at the level that you want to, but being able to appreciate when others do, you know, when they are better than you on that day and being okay with that. But also, you know, just being persistent and resilient too, because there's going to be good days and bad days. And it's funny, I have this, my son is just graduating from high school and I've made the scrapbook of his high school running career. And there's been some ups and downs, like a lot of ups and downs. So my very last page of the scrapbook are two pictures. One is one of his teammates who, like, you know, won a first place at state, and he's crossing the finish line. His arms are up, like he's looking up to the heavens, so excited about how wonderful this is for him. And the other picture is my daughter in the middle of a 5K because she didn't want to do it. And she's sitting on the ground with her hands on her head and just looking down like, this is the worst experience in my life. And all I could write on this page for my son is, some days running feels like one thing and some days it feels like the other. And that is, I think, true in sports participation. It's like, some days you're going to have, you know, it's going to be great and you're going to do exactly what you hope to, and other days not. And being able to accept that, because that's a life lesson right there. You know, things are not always going to go your way.
I love that. And I do think that sports sometimes, like anything, can be glamorized in media, you know, movies and things like that. And even if, like, the Mighty Ducks come to mind, right? They're an underdog and they went through a lot to get where they are. But even then, it's kind of glossed over.
It's a great
over.
Movie.
Yeah, I love that movie. These are my sports references, and we're just going to have to accept this. But it's kind of glossed over. It's like, oh, they were terrible, and in a very short amount of time, they, you know, are the best. And I think it's meant to inspire, but to your point,
there's always a montage, though, of them working hard.
That's true.
Always
That's true.
A three-minute montage set the music.
Right, 3 minutes.
Of them working hard and getting better.
That's true. But I guess what I'm saying is, the flip side to that, too, is that, you know, sometimes you do all that and you still don't come out on top. And so that can't be the only benefit to sports, and that sports, in interaction with sports and fitness in general, is a lifelong skill that's about more than that, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I really think about it as, and I came to this when my kids first started playing competitive sports, because early on, of course, they were just in recreational sports and it was just about fun. But once it switched to being competitive, I had to kind of rework in my brain, mm-hmm. and think about it, like, is this really what I want for my kids? And it changes everything, really, that mindset, where all of a sudden, you know, there's more emphasis on winning and all of that. And for me, I really had to come to peace with it by thinking about it in terms of, like, this is about striving to be your personal best, really. Like, what can you do through training and diet and mental fortitude to achieve whatever your personal best is? And I think being able to work hard for a goal, and whatever that best might be, and it's not going to be the same for everyone, obviously, but being able to go through that process and work towards that to try to achieve your potential, really, is what it is. And understanding how hard that could be, and also appreciating others that are going through that same struggle and witnessing, you know, their potential and what it takes to get there.
Absolutely. We're kind of at a crossroads with gymnastics right now with that, because the jump from just going to learn and have fun to competitive is a big one. And it changes the sport, but you kind of have to, you know, ask yourself as a parent and ask your children, you know, is this something you want to strive to be your best at? As you mentioned, you know, I said to my daughter who we're at this crossroads with, I said, because to me, this would be very soothing. I said, just know at the end of the day, you don't have to do gymnastics, because she seems stressed about it. And she looked at me and said, well, yes, I do. It's my dream.
Right.
And I thought, oh, well, that wasn't soothing to her, because that's not what she wants, you know. And I think that's a really great point you make, that that shift sometimes is hard for parents too, right? To know, like, okay, I'm supporting in a different way now, but it's very important to them succeeding. I know a big benefit of sports that I've seen in my kids is that keeping them busy in that active way is so positive. You know, it keeps them out of, I don't want to say trouble, as if they're like, you know, bad kids or something, but it keeps them busy with something that's good for them, both mentally and physically, and, you know, has those, that endorphin boost and the serotonin and all of that. And I just love seeing that, them being busy with something that's so positive.
Absolutely. And you're not wrong. I mean, sometimes it is a matter of keeping them out of trouble. I mean, the truth is that some kids, you know, if they weren't playing the sport, they would potentially be, you know, out dating and and possibly getting into that kind of trouble. Or, you know, they would be home, playing TV and or watching TV and playing video games, mm-hmm. or are possibly even doing drugs because they're bored.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes being busy with sports can really kind of block out some of the other issues that confront adolescents, especially.
Mm-hmm. And even along those lines, which maybe we don't see it in some of our communities and the people listening, for some, this is their way to stay safe, to have a place to go to. And then as we go down the line, this is a chance in some cases to change a life. And not, I'm not even talking NBA, NFL, just there are a lot of athletes in communities that they are the first person in their family to ever go to college because of sports. And it's passed on, and the sports helps them academically and those things. But in some cases, that's what sports has given people, is this is their chance to better their lives, not just in all the ways we've listed, you know, emotionally, physically, all those things, but they can actually get something out of it. And they may have trouble if they aren't in sports, or they may run in, you know, down the wrong path. And it opens those kind of doors up also, which sometimes maybe you forget, you know, different levels of what your kids are doing in sports. But for some, this is a life-changing chance.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's absolutely true. I mean, there's some kids that maybe plan to go to college, but this is how they afford it. Mm-hmm. And it can get them, you know, to move forward in their life.
Absolutely. We're talking about all these great benefits to sports, and there's so many. As we've all said, we could go on for hours and hours. But of course, there are some pitfalls with sports, some challenges to sports with children.
The ugly side.
The ugly side. And it is there. And I think it's important to talk about. Tara, what are some of these pitfalls that you see in your own family and with your patients?
Sometimes money is a key issue here. And the other thing I would say is time, because again, you know, they don't necessarily, not every family has a parent or an adult who can transport them to a practice because they are working and can't get off work in time to get their kids to practice. So sometimes they'll wait until the sports are a part of school, which is one alternative, because then the kids, you know, they go to school early or they stay late and it's wrapped into that day instead of, you know, outside of that. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't usually happen until middle school, so there can be a delay in their ability to participate, and by then sometimes there's tryouts for those. Yeah. So if your kid hasn't played before that, they might, you know, it might be difficult for them to get involved at that point. So I would say money, transportation, and time can be definitely difficult. Another thing would be injuries. I always tell, I see kids all the time coming in with injuries, and they want to know how quickly they can get back to their sport. And, you know, you just sometimes have to remind these athletes that that injury is part of being an athlete. Mm. You know, you are going to get hurt. Hopefully it will not be often and it will be minor, but you have to work into the idea that there's going to be some competitions you're going to miss.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And I was going to say, along with the glamorization of sports, and I can attest to this for me, is there's also an idea of you play hurt. And so I imagine your job is tougher on this, because that is the, if you're an athlete, you want to go out and be out there. And sometimes you need to be out there for your team, or you want to be back out there. And how hard is it with these athletes to convince them, you know, you really need to rest, or you really shouldn't be back out there, because your instinct is, oh, I can limp out there and play, or I can, you need to be back. You see it at every level, from, you know, from the pros on down to youth leagues. How do you, from the doctor standpoint, work to convince these kids that, yeah, you could probably go out and play, but we're talking long term, and you don't want to hurt yourself more now, because your instinct as the athlete is, I can do this, just, you know, put some ice on it, I'll be fine.
Right. Well, and what I usually ask them is how many games or how many competitions do you want to miss? Because do you want to miss one now, or like a whole season because you didn't take care of this injury and it got worse or became chronic? Mm. So, you know, I'm dealing with kids. They have a whole lifetime of sports participation in front of them. There's no single game, or even, to be honest, even a season that is all or nothing. Mm-hmm. And so as heartbreaking as that can be, because of all the other things we talked about, like the team participation, the mental health benefits of participating in this, all of that, as heartbreaking as it can be, it's still better for them to not play competitively if they have a significant injury. That doesn't mean, I mean, sometimes you can train through certain types of injuries, but you just want to, you know, it might be that you can't do the contact aspect of your sport, for example, but you could do some other kinds of training. So we try to, you know, I try to work with them and figure out, well, what can you do with this injury that still allows you to participate?
And honestly, the reason I'm on this podcast is because I was talking before the podcast about specialization and cross training, if you will, or playing multiple sports, and my vantage point is that it's very important for younger kids, especially even some through high school. I think that you should have some variety, is to not specialize in a single sport. And part of that, I'm tying it in here right now, is because injuries oftentimes are not just traumatic one-time injuries. You're seeing kids, I imagine, that are already having overuse injuries because they're doing the same movements over and over. You know, I know pitchers shouldn't be pitching certain things in baseball, and you know, you get knee problems from running or whatever it is. But by avoiding specialization, I would guess, and this, like I said, this is why I'm on here, because we were talking about this, it's better to do different things to also allow your body to heal, along with learning different skill sets and such. Because as you're talking about injury, with specialization, I think you also probably see a lot of that just from kids doing the same thing too often.
Yep, absolutely. That's correct. I mean, the truth is that a lot of injuries that I see are repetitive use injuries, which means that you're doing the same thing over and over again, and it just builds up kind of chronic inflammation due to that. And so doing different kinds of activities with your body that maybe takes the pressure off of that particular mechanism can make that less likely. So that's one reason not to specialize early. There are other reasons. I mean, part of it is you don't know what you're going to really love and be good at either. So early on, especially with the younger kids, they should be playing different sports and really trying some different things out and seeing what they're good at and what they enjoy. Mm-hmm. But it is true that the injury rate is lower when kids do that too. And even, like we've talked about my competitive runner, you know, if he is injured, he goes and rides a bike or he swims instead. Like, you know, he does other athletic activities to, you know, to kind of help him heal. So mm-hmm. he doesn't have to, like, stop everything. He just has to try to take that load off of that particular area of his body.
And then a challenge for parents on this, a lot of times, and you and I talk about this, and we both are from different vantage points, you from being a parent, me from covering so many high school and youth sports, is coaches will tell you, oh yes, we like a well-rounded athlete. We want them to play other sports, but you need to do this camp, or you really should do this off season. That kind of balancing act where coaches say they want you to be well-rounded as an athlete. And I do believe they believe that, but at the same time, sometimes they're not willing to give you the leash, if you will, or the time to do the other sports. As a parent, how do you handle that? Because you're dealing with the expert, which is the coach, but you also understand that they should be doing other things.
Yeah, that's hard because especially now, for I don't know all different sports and how they're set up, but I know soccer really well because that's what my kids did. And, you know, once you hit into a competitive level of play, they are, it's pretty much year round at that point. You know, they have a fall and a spring season, and that's considered your full commitment. So it's not like with recreational where, you know, maybe you just play in the fall and you do something else in the spring or vice versa. You know, soccer now, at least here, is an all year. You have the summer off, presumably, but then most of them want you to be doing pickup games over the summer or taking a camp, like you suggested. Mm-hmm. So it can be difficult to get your kids to realize they should be doing something else with that time. And I know, too, I honestly look forward to that time off. You know, when they try to train over the holidays or over summer, I'm like, really? Like,
yeah,
we need our evenings back. Mm-hmm. You know, just even as a parent, the kids need to be with their family sometimes too, because it can be sort of an all consuming activity for your kids, and they do need that time off. They need to be able to go and just play at the basketball courts or go swimming or do something else entirely different to get their mind in a different place and their body in a different place. And I don't know that I have an easy solution for that, Brent, because as you say, the coaches will tell you, we want the kids not to specialize early. But sometimes what they mean is, well, we don't want them necessarily to play, you know, to decide they're only going to be in defense. They should play different positions, but in the same sport. Right. So sometimes they don't fully understand what you're getting at. But yes, playing different sports, I think, is really healthy, especially for the younger kids. And you really shouldn't even try to narrow that down to one sport, at least until middle school or high school.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my website is for high school wrestling, and high school wrestling is a 3 or 4 month season, but it's year round. I mean, my website has stuff on it year round because kids are competing year round. So I understand. So I get to see it really intimately with that. But some kids play football, some run track, and they're able to do those things. I just imagine it's a fine line. And I, from my vantage point, I've always been pro, even in early high school, to not set in on one thing, because not just injuries, but just sometimes you might find you're good at something else. Mm-hmm. And some of these kids go find that, you know, success somewhere else, or some come to this sport and find success when they were playing football their whole lives. So you need to be able to still try things. But I am aware of, like, the year-round thing. It's a year-round, every sport, especially in Florida, because we have amazing weather down here. You can do any sport year-round. And and you want to, because you want to be good. And so as a parent, you need to kind of sometimes rein your kids in, because I'm sure they don't have a problem playing year-round. You have to be the one that says, you know what, you need to pull it back. Or, you know what, let's play basketball this semester, or those kind of things, or go swim, or those. So it's really sometimes on the parent, and sometimes the parent is the problem because they want it more than the kid does. And so they don't see that the kid is overworking or shouldn't be specializing in something yet.
Right. Well, and so let's talk about the problem of overcompetitiveness.
Yes.
So, I mean, and this does affect both parents and kids. So if we're going to talk about it from a parent standpoint, this is definitely a huge, huge issue. I mean, I think most sports, you're going to have those parents that are just, you know, you're dealing with a group of young kids and they are freaking out on the sidelines.
Yeah, I think we've all seen it.
Angry with the coach for not playing their kid enough time, or yelling at the referee and cussing and all of this kind of stuff. when really their kid is just there to have fun. And quite honestly, sometimes the kids are embarrassed by their parents.
Yeah.
Because the parents are acting a little bit over the top for what it is.
I think at that point, too, it kind of becomes more about the parent and not about the kid. Like, the kid can't just go out there and play or practice or do their thing because now they've got to worry about or wonder what's going on over there with their parents. And I can't imagine from, like, an anxiety standpoint for the kids, teens playing, that's very healthy.
Right. I would add to that probably even more so is the anxiety of what your parents going to say after the game to you. No matter how they're even acting during the game. And I think, and we I know it's on the list there, but I think that's a really key thing to discuss is how to, as a parent, how do you talk to your kid after they lose? How do you talk to them after they mess up? How do you talk to them after they win? As much as your behavior watching it is important, so is the behavior away from the field of competition. Because sometimes parents take that too seriously. I've seen parents, I've seen coaches scream at kids after they lose, and I've seen them comfort them, and there's kind of a balance in between, and sometimes you need to know your kid. But that is probably even more anxiety creating, is what is going to be said to me when this is over if I don't succeed or if we don't succeed.
Right. And I think a lot of parents forget that if their kids are in a competitive sport, a lot of times it's because their kids are competitive. Mm-hmm. And so they're already being hard on themselves if they don't do well. So if the parent adds to that by making them feel bad, that just, you know, defeats the whole purpose of the experience. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it, you know, we were going to talk about this a little further down, but let's just lay it out there. I mean, talking to your kid after the game, I would say that you really shouldn't say much about the game, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a teaching moment, especially if they're upset. It's mm-hmm. better to wait. Maybe just to tell them that you're proud of them for doing their best, or, you know, that you were happy that you were able to be there with them, you know, whatever, if you need to say something or talk about something else entirely mm-hmm. different. But, you know, if you need to give them pointers or ask for more specifics from them, talk in depth about the game, I would wait until they have kind of gotten over that emotional mm-hmm. Shock of whatever it was. They're going to be much more open. This has been my experience again and again. They're going to be much more open to talking about, okay, what can I do for next time? You know, what can I do better next time? What should I be working on in the meantime? If it doesn't come across right afterwards as being like, well, you screwed up, so we need mm-hmm. to figure this out, or you need to figure this out, you know? And I think that a lot of times it's just, you know, sometimes just being quiet and not opening your mouth is the best thing a parent can do.
I think that applies to more than sports for sure. I know as parents in general, in my personality, I'm a fixer. So if my kid's upset, I want to find the right words to say. And to your point, I'm really getting better at just saying, I'm here when you're ready. Or can I get you something to eat? What, you know, is there a drink that would make you, you know, feel better or whatever it may be? And realizing that you really can't fix it. Excuse me, that's a skill they're learning too, you know, is processing those things.
And sometimes you just acknowledge it. Yeah. That really was disappointing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was, you know, you could use some more colorful language. That stinks, that sucks, right. You know, whatever.
Right.
Because they're probably thinking that.
Yes.
And so if you tell them, yep, that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't. That shouldn't, you know, your approval, your love of your child shouldn't be based on their performance in that situation.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was gonna say, make sure when you're using those words, disappointed, you're disappointed in the outcome and not in them. You don't think less of them. But yeah, sometimes it stinks to lose, but you can't say, yeah, you stink kind
right.
of thing.
Right. Yeah. No, more just drawing on the humor of the situation.
Yes.
And you know, that was just not a great day.
And I'm not good at the officiating part, but I think I am good as a parent as keeping my mouth shut after the game and understanding the emotion that comes with winning and losing and then finding a time later to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there will be another time. You know, usually the kids will think about it themselves too, and they'll be ready, you know, whether it's hours later or the next day or whatever, to come back and say, okay, what went wrong? You know, how do we, what do we need here? Or mm-hmm. what would you like to do to make it better?
absolutely. And having letting them find that space and just letting them have the negative moment if they need it.
Yeah. I mean, I know my daughter, you know, she went to a soccer tournament and she didn't get to play a whole lot. She wasn't the only one. But, you know, depending on the coach's perspective on how much play time kids get for different games and stuff, she came away feeling really unhappy because she sat on the bench a lot. And even though the team did well, she didn't feel like she deserved the medal or anything else because she didn't really get to play much. And so that was something, too, where, you know, as a parent, you don't really want to sit there and watch them not play either.
Right.
So there's our own emotions we're dealing with there because you invested all this time, spent the whole weekend at a tournament and didn't get to see your kid play. But you can't really say that to your kid either. You have to kind of understand that, you know, you're trying to manage their disappointment and then figure out, okay, well, so if you want to play more, what do you need to do? And that could be a conversation for later, but, you know, hopefully it's a motivating factor perhaps for them to say, you know what, this is important to me. I need to train more maybe, or I need to get in better shape, or, you know, whatever it is that needs to be done.
Absolutely. And you kind of just touched on this about the importance of keeping the sports child driven, right? Like, we don't like to see them on the bench. We don't, you know, we might disagree with the way a coach is coaching or even a referee is interacting, but to always ground it back in what is the point for your kid doing this, right? How do you make it their experience? And I'd be interested to hear if you have any, well, you just gave an example, but examples of that, you know, where parents can avoid making it about them and keep it on their kids.
Yeah, this is kind of interconnected a little bit. The you know, usually if the parents are really competitive, a lot of times that the kids are too. That's not always the case. Sometimes the kid could care less about the sport. This might have been a sport that the parents played that they want their kid to play. That usually does not end up well. Usually the kid will drop out at some point or be miserable. But sometimes the kid is very competitive too, and they can start having a lot of performance anxiety. Like, this is something I see at the higher level, the elite, you know, level athletes, and they, you know, just the idea that they have to be perfect or they have to perform every single time just as well as the last or even better than the last time, like, that's a lot of pressure. And so if they have that coming from their parents too, hovering over them, asking them, you know, how did you feel about that? And how did that go? And, you know, what are you doing next? And what's your training plan? And all this stuff, that just adds to it. So it's really important, I think, to remember that, you know, this is your kid's life. And if they love the sport and want to get better at it, that should be the driving force, not kind of whatever you think they need to do in order to get better. You know, you have to take your ego out and say, you know, whether your kid is the best, I don't know, baseball player or not is really not about you. And this was a hard one for me to learn. I'll be honest with you, because I'm fairly competitive. So, you know, I want my kids to be the best if they're doing something. If they like it, like, of course, you know, you got to rise to the occasion, you know, but you really, my advice is to take that step back. And I have had to learn it the hard way by getting pushback from my kids or, you know, having them sometimes not want me to talk to them, you know, during a game or whatever, because it's just too much, you know. So I've had to sometimes skip some events because I didn't feel like I could be there and give them the kind of support they wanted. Because I knew I would just, you know, not be, I just needed to space. I needed space for a little while so that I could come back to it. But I think that's, you know, really important. If you can manage that from the beginning and realize that this has to be a your child-driven thing, it does make it a little bit easier. Like, you don't want to be more invested than your kid is in whatever it is they're doing. And that will help because then, like I said, if the performance anxiety is coming only from them and you're able to tell them, hey, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter, win or lose, you know, this is, you're just go out there and do the best you can and have fun. And I don't care. I'm going to love you anyway. Like, that should be the message.
But you better win.
That's what you say in your mind, Brand. Yes. Okay, you don't say it out loud to your kid.
That's a little voice in the head. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that advice. And I think that's interesting how when you said, I take a step back, I was thinking metaphorically, but then you said, you know, I don't go to events. I'm like, oh, like literally not going to things. I think that's very, that takes a lot of awareness on the side of a parent to look at it that way. So I think that's really good advice and something I'm definitely going to consider, not just in sports, but everything.
I would, a question or even a topic as a parent sometimes, and this goes back to when you asked what it was like to be coached by my dad, and if he called me easy. How, as a parent, do you deal with children who you know this is something they want to do, or they've said it, they should do this, but then they don't want to put it into work? And how do you kind of balance that? Like, you have a child who says, I want to be better at this. And as a parent, and as, in my case, as someone who's played the sport or been around the sport, I say, well, this is what you need to do. You should do this, or you should go do these. And then they don't want to do it, and then they wonder why they aren't getting better. But so as a parent, some of that you need to force on them, some of that you don't. But where do you find that balance of how much of it is pushing it on them and how much of it is being the parent? You're not trying to be their friend, and knowing that in the end they're going to be glad they did it, but they might need a little bit of a push to it.
Well, I think what I've had to do myself is just remind them, hey, these are your goals. I'm just helping you. You know, you told me that this was what you wanted to achieve. And you even helped lay out what you needed to do to get there. So I'm just reminding you that you said you needed to go and work out in the gym today, you know, for strength training, or you needed to go to, you know, the pool to swim today, or whatever it is, or make sure you get to your 3 practices a week, or get your extra training, you know, whatever they decided for themselves they needed to do to achieve their goal. I think it's appropriate as a parent to put a little bit of pressure. But I think if it gets to the point where they're just screaming and crying and refusing to go, then you probably should back off and say, well, it's okay. And if you don't meet that goal, or you're not able to achieve what you said you wanted to, that's okay too. Maybe you'll find something else you're willing to work that hard for.
Yeah, well, that's good advice. And I think sometimes we can have parent guilt if we feel like we're not doing enough. But as you mentioned, you can get burned if you're putting in more work than the kid, or more effort or more energy into it, then that probably means it's not going to be sustainable for them.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And so one other thing I want to mention about this, about the nature of competitive sports. You know, I've had a couple conversations with parents recently whose child was participating in a athletic activity. One was a dancer, the other was ice skating. And those are two that are pretty intense. They usually do start to specialize early. Like, they usually, you know, begin doing that at a young age, and it becomes very intense. And sometimes they even, like, drop out of school and go to either online classes or homeschooling or something like that. And I think that so that, you know, really your whole life is focused on this particular activity. And so then there's a lot more pressure, not only on the kid, but with the parents, because they're like, I changed everything. I changed my schedule. I have to teach you hours a day. You know, like, everything revolves around that kid's activity. And that is an especially difficult one, I think, to try to take a step back and not be as involved as a parent, because you have invested a lot in that situation.
Right.
But, you know, it just, I think that the take home I would say is, like, don't give up your kid's education. You don't know in 5 years or 10 years if this is something they're going to want to continue, or whether they might get injured and not be able to continue. So, you know, focus on making sure they have an opportunity to be a kid too. And if they want to sacrifice some of those other things, try to do that to a reasonable extent, but not give it all up. You know, don't let them suffer through an education that is substandard just because they want to pursue the sport.
I think that's great advice. I also think you and I, Tara and Brant, we have an advantage of having such big families. So I talk to my kids, you know, some of my kids are in acting, and they'll be like, oh, what if I was on a TV show? I'm like, we're not going to California. Like, we got too much. This person's got this. This person's got that. This person, you know, and it's similar for sports. So there's just really no way that we could have the setup that you just described. But for families where it's possible, I think that's really good advice, because so much can change in those years leading up to that. Well, thank you, Brant, for being our guest on this episode.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm glad you agreed to jump in with us.
I'll make sure not to talk about the other topics before they start off, so I won't sabotage all of your podcasts.
Get roped in.
No, I think this one was more fun for
it. Fan favorite.
I enjoyed it.
We'll have you back for something Brant specific. And as always, thank you, Dr. Tara Forcier, for your expertise. I know parents are going to get a lot out of this episode, and be sure that you are subscribed to Are You Kidding Me? Anywhere you listen to podcasts, and we'll see you back next time. Thanks again, Tara.
Yeah, thank you, and enjoy playing sports, because they are wonderful.
You've been listening to Are You Kidding Me? A pediatric podcast for parents like you. Hear you next time.